In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet as we continue our services, I ask to read the Word of God from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first 10 verses, in Jesus' name. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. This portion of God's Word, which we just heard, is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It is said here, in the beginning, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. What had happened before this? Matthew tells us how Jesus began his ministry. He calls his disciples. Many of them were fishermen of the Sea of Galilee. Or he was in the area of Galilee. He said, Draw nigh, the kingdom of God is near you. Repent. It is said that he endeavored around and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. And even many different types of diseases. It is also said that of the 10 sittings, there were many who draw nigh unto him. Into the Galilee and all the way to Jerusalem. Now here in this text it is said, Jesus arose onto the mountain. He sits, and his disciples. We can understand from this entirety that his closest disciples, those who had just received the grace of repentance, and they had followed the call when God, Jesus asked them to follow me. They come to him, and they sat there. It was like this, a teaching situation, when he says, or this gospel says here, he taught them. this picture, these disciples, even the word says a lot. Already here it has been said many times that this kingdom of God is like a child, or is a kingdom like a child. What does Jesus want to teach of the Christian ABCs? What does he want to teach to his disciples? And he speaks of the children of the kingdom of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to a person when he becomes a member of the kingdom of God, just as these obedient ones were? Maybe the powerful and the harsh, the ones, how these fishermen, which life had taught them, probably wondering, what is this? All kinds of people following him, and he has called us. He heals the sick. What is the kingdom in which he says that it has drawn nigh? Repent and believe the gospel. What is that kingdom in which they had become partakers of? Jesus begins in this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This word blessed is not used as often in our everyday life. I even looked in the Finnish dictionary, and it says in this way. It means this way. It's a spiritual meaning. It is perfect. It is happiness, which one obtains when they are in the unity of God. Perfect happiness in which you, which is obtained in the unity of God. Blessed are they whose evil things have been forgotten. Who receive their sins forgiven. Isaiah says in this way, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices over the Lord, because he clothed me in the righteous clothing, in the skirt of righteousness. So I'm like a bridegroom who has set a throne or flowers upon my head, or like a bride who is the most beautiful. And so Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I've tried to picture this with this type of example. Once I saw, as my own grandmother lived in her own home, and she became old. And she did not have the strength to take care of things, even though we helped her. She went to a nursing home. Or maybe they call it for a home of disabled. She received friends there. She received clothes, the warmth, the clothing, everything that she needed. She said, everything. It's good to be here. All my worries that I had when I lived alone are now gone. That the kingdom of God is to a child of God who feels his sinfulness, his weakness, faultiness, his weakness. Maybe inner sufferings or doubts surround us. We are blessed for this reason, that we could live in the kingdom of God and be thankful of this and rejoice over it. This is how God has called and helped in this kingdom. The King of David had an overabundance of temporal things which he had. He had power, he had honor and glory. I ask from the Lord one thing. I ask from the Lord, as that is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And he saw how the Lord in his house covered him even in the evil time, and sees that is a secret house. It is not something that the world knows or recognizes. And that's where God places his foot on the foundation. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God and his kingdom, the children of God, are comforted with the promises of the Word of God. We secure on them and are comforted in them. Fall of sin is comforted with the gospel. Even as you can, just as you find yourself, you can believe your sins forgiven. The Bible says this is when one is feeling burden over sin. This is the kind of burdens God likes. We feel burdens of the world. That could even cause or may cause death. But these types of burdens that lead to repentance, because it leads to salvation, is according to God. It is our part. As we have two parts, and that we feel these burdens. It is not something to rejoice of, but we are comforted in it. Even Paul writes to the Corinthians in this way, "Blessed is he, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is giving great abundance. Just as you have come through suffering, you are part of it. You have become, even through comfort, become a part of it. Just as the suffering of Christ has become a part of us. It is said that that through Christ we will receive much comfort. Have we experienced this? God comforts through His kingdom, through His word, through His promises, through the gospel. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The newer translation says that blessed are the more patient, they will inherit the earth. We are asked of patience. Even if we have the want and the desire that we would not fall and that our flesh would not receive power, but again and again we can realize and we notice we have not been as successful as has been our heart's desire. Paul in his own part says, he said that it is in my flesh, nothing good lives in it. And this way, the desire of the flesh is to die. The desire of the spirit is to live and to have peace. We have the old portion. We need patience. Paul even writes, we can rejoice. We can, through faults, even causes us patience. And through patience, we have suffering, and then gives us hope. And that we know that the love of God is flowed into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians, when it speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering is one of them. Moses, during his time, experienced suffering, oppression, and he says he also wants to experience the unity of the children of God. Why? He was able to see the reward. That which was his inheritance and what is the inheritance of all the children of God is heaven. We can inherit the earth. This hope does not let oppression come. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As it is in our natural lives, our bodies need nourishment. Even our faith needs nourishment. It needs the food. Faith is part of the everyday life. The winds of everyday life cool it, make it cold, and we become doubtful. Am I truly believing? I have become so cold, so everyday-ish. My thoughts are only in this temporal matters. When we have been able to gather together at services, at the Word of God, God nourishes us through His Word, strengthens us, supports us. So, as we heard, we cannot believe that we would place something into storage. But now, today, when we believe that God would nourish and give us a mind that we would want to endeavor in the kingdom of God, and the grace promises of God are which carry us, encouraging us. And yet is called to those to repent who are not yet part of this salvation. What is repentance? What does it mean? If a listener doesn't know what is repentance, I will read to you from the Catechism. What does it mean to repent? A true and real repentance is nothing more than one is fearful of their sin, but they still want to believe under the gospel and the remission of sins, and that their sins are forgiven, and that the grace through Christ, whose faith will also comfort the repentance of life and the leaving sin behind. So it is the fruit of repentance. So simple is repentance, the fear over sin, but at the same time believing the gospel. If a person has been listening to these words and would like to repent, would want to believe, even now you have the promise and the possibility. You can cling to it and own it. As the Lord God would say, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, faith is a gift. The enormity of it, it is impossible for us to comprehend. The ones who have received the grace of repentance, they say that how they want to discuss, talk to people about their gift, friends, co-workers, neighbors, to how God has been mercy unto me, merciful unto me, and would like that they would also obtain this gift. Many say that once every day comes, this feeling of merciful, sins and doubts come. And it is so difficult to speak of this gift. I would ask you, dear listener, is it easy to speak of the Word of God to the ones close to you? I believe, where we share this experience, it is not easy. I would like to comfort in this, that we would be able to speak to God. We could do as Peter instructs, all your burdens lay upon him, because he will take care of you. All these worries, these close ones who have fallen away, have been fallen into unbelief. We can carry them to the heart of the Heavenly Father. It is also said that even at these services, often the prayers of intercession are read. There is a desire to speak to God, bring before God those faults and burdens which we feel, experience in our lives. It is also important that in our homes, the relationships would become, are close, and that there is also mercy there. That the atmosphere in the home, that we could bring up topics of conversation that oppress our minds. I remember 50, 60 years ago at the dinner table, a 10-year-old little girl asked the father, "Dad, why did you cry at the road when you met your brother?" The brothers lived close to each other. The father related, the relationship between us was not natural. We had sorrow. And this brother took up the topic. We were able to talk about it. We were able to bless each other with the gospel. That is why I cried. This to this young man, this picture got left into his mind, the impression how in this everyday situation, how God affected in their lives, and how through grace they were able to take care and heal the love. Even in this way, we hope that in the everyday lives of the homes, that the gospel would be the cleansing power, the fountain. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we read these, our hearts may thump. Am I pure in my heart? Because I feel often that I'm so insufficient. But our holiness, or our purity, but is only based upon the faith on Christ and his fulfillment, and that we can own the gospel, the purity of the gospel. Peter spoke in the meeting of Jerusalem. There was, does the gospel belong? Do they have to return to the rules of the law? Peter there proclaimed, God did not separate us from each other to be cleansed, so that their hearts would be cleansed through faith. Faith owns the perfectness and the purity of perfect purity of Christ. It is like as an exchange. When Christ gives all his gifts to us and takes from us our sins and our faults, this is a pure exchange. It is said here, those who believe in this way can see God. We are unable to see God with our natural eyes, but through the eyes of faith, through the gospel, we are able to see the face of God. Jacob even says, when he had that dream, he said he would not let the other guy go until you bless me. And then he was blessed. He even named the place. I have seen God from face to face, and my soul is freed. That the article wrote, the sun rose when he walked from there, and he limped from his hip. God took care of Jacob, took care of him. So Jacob was almost as if he saw God face to face through the gospel. That's how it is to us. It is the unseen picture of God. It is said here that they shall see God in heaven. In eternity, we can see to those of us who own faith here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I have already discussed this, talked about this. The apostle instructs, remain, keep peace among all people. So it is. So that our feet would be firmly planted, that we would be prepared to preach the gospel. We have probably many times experienced. Even if they would have peace, they probably are not able to expect it. David even said that even if I speak of peace, they still make war. I believe, and that's what I speak. There is not always acceptance. The Word of God here says that those are called to become a children of God are those who are peacemakers. Jesus says in us in this way, He said, "Dear sons, we are the dear children of God when we believe." In the text, last verse of our text, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus always says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we feel that we have inner oppression, which I spoke of in the beginning, we may also feel, or maybe some outwardly oppression which weighs on us. Jesus said, "You are blessed when you feel this." Peter even writes of this, that even if we would have need to suffer on behalf of righteousness, we are saved. Do not fear them. Do not, but just keep the Lord Jesus holy in your heart. And be ready to answer. Be ready to answer the where, what is the basis of your hope. Answer peacefully and honorably, and keep your own conscience clean. And those who speak against your own and your endeavor as a Christ, they will become ashamed for the reason of why they put you down. The Word of God says that even in this type of situation, which may offend a person's mind, they may feel, we would just need to ask that through peace that we would be ready to explain about our faith and its foundation. The heart, what is our mind and heart, it speaks more than words. Here, the topic of this text spoke of this blessedness. The danger is that we start measuring our heart. Do we actually feel this, or do we experience this? But remember, dear child of God, faith is not a feeling, but that we can own the perfect atonement of Christ, and that we can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. We are blessed through righteousness in Christ. Even at these words, we can remain believing. And those who are believing, we will have eternal life in heaven. This hope, as we own this hope, we can remain believing to continue this journey. Uplift your heart to believe, all your sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. Be secure and free, in Jesus' name and blood. All sins are forgiven. We have a beautiful kingdom. The kingdom of grace and forgiveness. Can I believe my sins forgiven? This is my desire to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.